This is Brittany Blackwell, host of the Resilient Teacher Podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, along with this podcast. Each show on the network is independently owned, and the views expressed may not represent those of other podcasts. For the best education podcast, visit edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here, and today I'm talking with Linda Stewart Henley. She is an award-winning novelist, and our focus today is her most recent novel, Kate's War. And it's set in World War II at the beginning of the war. It's engaging, inspiring, great characters. You're going to love this read. Thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, before you go, it'd be so cool if you took time to help out the podcast. Well, there's a couple different ways you can help it out. You know, one way is to tell a friend and share the links. That's cool. Another way would be to go to my website and leave a review and subscribe. And how about this one? You could click on the link on my website homepage to buy me a coffee. You click there, and by doing this, you could donate a dollar or two to help me address the cost associated with producing the podcast. What do you think? You are awesome. Enjoy the show.
Kate is, well, of course, she's the main character. She's 20 years old, and she wants to leave home and start her own life. She wants to have a singing career. So she's very upset when war is declared on September 3rd, 1939, England against Germany.
It's the Education Podcast, your favorite show, with lots of groovy guests and they share what they know. So crank it up to 10 and let your neighbors know that here's another show with Dr. Steve Mileto. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. With Dr. Steve Mileto.
Linda Stewart Henley is an award-winning novelist, accomplished artist, and a retired college administrator. Kate's War, her third novel, is being released in April 2024 by She Writes Press. Her first two novels, Estelle and Waterbury Winter, each won awards. Her hobbies and interests include gardening and painting. She enjoys painting native wildflowers and landscapes in watercolor. She was born in the UK and moved to the US when she was 16. She now lives in the Pacific Northwest with her husband. She has two children and two grandchildren. Our focus today is Linda's novel, Kate's War. Linda, thanks so much for being on the show, and say hi to everyone.
Well, hello, Stephen, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, glad you're here. And our focus today is your book, Kate's War. But before we do that, let's talk about you as a painter. Could you share your style and focus and what you like about painting?
Well, thanks for asking this. Usually I just get asked about the book. But the painting is really relaxing for me. Writing is not. So I could say that if you ask me what is good about painting for me, it's just that exactly that. I can sit with a flower, and I usually paint on location. So I'm sitting beside a flower, painting it. Native flowers, not garden flowers. And I think what I also like about painting is the fact that my paintings aren't very large. Watercolor take maybe 2 hours. So after 2 hours, I actually have a product, unlike a book, which takes years to create.
Understand. So ever been bothered by bees while you're painting the wildflowers?
Well, sometimes I have to take insect repellent because you really can't paint if you've got mosquitoes biting you.
Yeah, that would be that would be rough with mosquitoes bothering you. So, good stuff. Well, that's cool. I was wondering if it was more relaxing to you than the writing. That's actually something I was wondering if you might talk about. So, I appreciate you saying that. So, but good stuff. Yeah. So let's take another minute, if you could, to share a little bit about your previous award-winning novels. You had Estelle and Waterbury Winter. So what are they about?
Well, the common thread with all my books, actually, all three now, is, if you want to put this in you know, more highfalutin terms, of the restorative value of art, okay? So in the first two, it really is about painting. And the last one, this Kate's War, is about music. But Estelle is about the painter Edgar Degas when he lived in New Orleans for 5 months. A lot of people don't know that he did that. He had French Creole relatives who lived there, and they invited him to come and stay with them. So he went there for 5 months in 1872 to 1873. It was before he was famous. So he had some doubts about himself and his ability. And then actually, while he was there, he ended up painting a scene in New Orleans, his family's cotton office, and it became a big success and ensured his reputation. So that's Estelle. Waterbury Winter is quite different. It's set in Waterbury, Connecticut. It's about a 45-year-old artist who's lost his way. It's how he finds his way back to painting and overcomes many obstacles, including drinking.
Gotcha. So very cool. Well, congrats on the success with these two books as well. That is awesome. So, all right. So we're going to shift to Kate's War, and it's historical fiction. Could you talk about the setting and its focus, and also make sure you tell us who Kate is?
Of course. Kate is, well, of course, she's the main character. She's 20 years old, and she wants to leave home and start her own life. She wants to have a singing career. So she's very upset when war is declared on September 3rd, 1939. England against Germany. She lives in England in a small town 9 miles south of the center of London. So she and her family are very nervous about the prospect of war, bombing, all that. And so she has to abandon her plans for singing and stay home and just get along with everyone else and prepare for war. So that's really the setting. South of London, 1939. It's also, the whole story takes place during the first year of the war, before the Blitz. It's how people prepared for the war during that first year.
Gotcha. So your novel reflects how a family struggled, at the onset of World War II, but they mustered a strength and perseverance to find love and to sacrifice for others. Could you take us a little deeper into that need for strength and perseverance?
Yes, well, of course, the Brits are known, this is a bit stereotypical, but known for their stiff upper lip. But they actually really did manage very well with all the stress and anxiety of impending war and invasion by the Germans. They really did think that Germany was going to invade. I mean, after all, Germany invaded other countries, so they fully expected it, and they were told to expect it. So they had to just manage the best way they could to prepare. But as my father said to me, he said, what everybody did during that time was they simply put their lives on hold. They had to, because the war just superseded everything else they were trying to do. And I think that's what the Brits managed to do. Everybody was involved in the war. It wasn't like in this country, where even though there was war, people's lives weren't touched as directly as people's lives were touched in England. In England, you couldn't avoid it. So people just had to hang in there and do what they could.
Gotcha. One of the things that, and especially with, the idea of thinking about an impending invasion, that was a constant threat during the whole time, The bombing takes place, and then the threat of the rocket later in the war, and I can only imagine what that did for the mindset of people, especially when you talked about putting your life on hold. Just, you have to get on with it later. So tell us a little bit about this. What role does, your work is historical fiction. I mean, what role does historical fiction play in keeping events of the past alive?
Well, if people write about something, especially if they make it fiction rather than just a statement of facts, it does bring a historical time alive, if it's well done, obviously. So I think that's one of the values of historical fiction. It can keep the past alive. It can also introduce little known things that would be lost. And that's one of the reasons I wrote Kate's War, is because there's an event that I'm sure we'll talk about later that I don't want to tell too much about because it's a spoiler, but there's an event that happened to my father that isn't known about very widely at all. So I was able to write about that in the book, and that keeps it alive.
Oh, that's awesome, because I think it gives an opportunity for someone to experience it as if it's, they're experiencing it. So it's not just the facts and the main storyline that might might not grab their interest or something. It helps make their interest flow with the idea, I guess, is my point. Very, very cool. One of the things that I wanted to make sure that we talked about is your dad's role in World War II. Did he talk about the war with you? I mean, what would you ask him if you could today?
Well, no. I mean, most people didn't talk about the war in those days. That generation didn't, for several reasons. One was they just weren't inclined to do that. They didn't want to talk about something unpleasant. It was a different culture then. You didn't talk about things that were difficult. But the other reason was that there was the Official Secrets Act, which actually prosecuted people who talked about things that could have been considered security problems. So many people had to sign an act that they would sign a statement that they would observe securities and not everyone did, but everybody was bound by that secrecy.
Oh, I understand. It's interesting. And just the mindset that you mentioned just a second ago, besides having outside forces that are saying, yeah, don't you talk about that. You also have the idea that it just, you know, it's done, move on, kind of.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the reasons they didn't want people to talk was they were just terrified that the Germans would learn secrets. And there was a strong feeling that there were spies everywhere that would tell the Germans what was going on. And so that was another reason. Everybody was told to be careful about things like that. So that was something I thought was unusual. I don't know if they'd still do that these days, but maybe they do, you know, who knows?
Right. You know, I grew up in Daytona Beach, Florida, and Daytona is on the Atlantic coast. And there are many people have tales from those days when they would have drills at night about turning out your lights and so forth as they would search the ocean to see if there were any vessels out there, especially when the fear of submarines were so great that they might be surfacing out there. And so there's any number of reasons why you would not want people just constantly talking about, you know, what they were experiencing or what they're doing. So, you know, one of the things that I understand is that you discovered an unpublished manuscript that your father had written. Could you talk about that manuscript? And then did it help inspire Kate's war?
Well, the manuscript did inspire me. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book. It was actually a memoir that he wrote, but it was just something he wrote for the family. It wasn't something he was going to publish. But unfortunately, I never got to discuss it with him because he died before I read it. So, you know, we were living in different countries. He was in Scotland and I was in America. So I just didn't have much access to him. And he kept revising the memoir. So I just never saw it till after he died. And I was absolutely shocked when I read this particular incident that I write about in the book. I had no idea about this. I will say this much, because this is part of the interesting thing about it. He was torpedoed.
That could not be fun. That's, and to learn about it, because you first learn about it through his writing, right? As opposed to him just talking about it. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. I just learned from the war, so I talked to him about it. I would love to have talked to him about it, but I didn't know about it until after he died. So
it is interesting, because it's like my grandfather was a tanker in World War II, and he went across with Patton's columns. And it's interesting, when I had a chance after he died, I've had access to letters that he had written to his wife from over there. And one of the things that was interesting was the amount of redaction that they did, where there'd be parts of the letter just gone. They could cut it out and black out, you know, draw black lines through things that he wasn't supposed to be talking about, I guess. And and a big part of that, obviously, was that they were moving across Europe, and the idea was not to give anything away of, might tell where their location was or anything like that. But I say this because one of the things that happened during that war was my grandfather had, and I learned this through his letters, one of the letters had his private stripes in there. Now, I was kind of confused about this, and I went to my grandmother, and I said, do you have more letters that explain this private stripe? Because my grandfather, at, you know, the war, he was a master tech sergeant. He had a bunch of stripes. I think he was called a master tech sergeant. And with the tank. And then he had, basically what happened was they had stopped in this town, and there was a fight that took place. And he was trying to rescue some of his soldiers from some of the MPs. And they busted him to private for a month. But it was fascinating because I was his buddy when he was alive. Everywhere he went. But he never talked about the war either. And it was
interesting. There you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many stories are lost. There must be so many that we should be knowing about, but we don't.
That's what's wild, and you're so correct. It's like these are lost, and the story of my grandfather is funny. Is that I guess one of the things he did was he punched him in peak to get some of his crew out of the bar or the pub wherever they were, and they didn't take too kindly to that. And but in the middle of a war, he gets busted for fighting, and then obviously they put him back up in rank. But it was interesting reading those letters and progression. I had started too far ahead. I had to go backwards. But my point, and my real point is, I can imagine as you're reading your father's words, what that did for you. So, you know, one of the things that I want to do for a second is just kind of talk about writing. So when you write, you've written three novels. Do you outline, or do you kind of start with an idea and move forward?
It depends on the story. Kate's War was different from the other two because I already knew the ending before I started writing it. So I had to actually write the story towards the ending. I had to make up a story that would lead the reader and the characters to some kind of a logical conclusion at the ending. So that was different. The other two, I didn't really outline them, but Estelle, because it was historical fiction, one of the things that historical fiction helps you do is follow the historical events. And I had a very good resource, a catalog that was produced by the New Orleans Museum of Art, actually, that very carefully went into all the details of de Gaulle's life during his time in New Orleans. So it was only 5 months. So I kept scrupulously to those dates. The other one, Waterbury Winter, that was just so freeing because I didn't have to worry about dates or getting anything wrong. I just made it up. So that just went along as it did. It just flowed in its own way.
That's excellent. It's interesting to hear how different people do writing differently. So, and even within your own writing, you chose to do it differently depending on the topics. I like that. You know, one of the things I got to ask you is, so how'd you create your characters? I mean, I know you're taking events from what happened during the time, but how did you create the characters that you create the story around?
Well, it's the job of any novelist to create an interesting character. You have to try and create a character that has a problem, and then they have to try to solve the problem, and then they fail at solving the problem, and then they have another problem, and then they overcome it and they get it. That's what you do to keep it interesting, so that you really have an arc, a character arc. So I had to start somewhere with each character, usually at a low point, and then things got worse, and then in the end they got a little bit better. My stories aren't exactly riding away into the sunset happy endings. They're a little bit more nuanced than that. You know, like the end of Kate's War, for example, ends with the Blitz. And so, you know, what do you expect from that? All you know is that people are going to expect more trouble ahead, but they're prepared for it. They've overcome certain things in order to be ready for the war and to accept the consequences. So that's all I can say about that.
No, that's good. That's, you know, it's one of the things that I think, when you think about, first of all, when you're talking about there's going to be trouble and more trouble, that's most definitely to keep it interesting. And then to end on as the Blitz is coming, you know, there's a couple of things. One, you leave it to their imagination to figure out, to fill in the gaps, or there's another chapter coming or another novel coming. Any thoughts about continuing with Kate?
Yeah, there's no novel without trouble, really.
Right.
It's supposed to be like life, you know.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that completely. So is there any thoughts about continuing on after, like during the Blitz and ours?
You mean following up with this particular story?
Yes,
a
following
sequel
up.
Or something?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do a sequel to Kate's War. I haven't got any sequel. None of my books are like that. They're all standalone. I like to have a new subject and a new problem.
That's cool. I was just curious because another way of, when you end, when there's something big about to happen is that, oh, so stay tuned, same next time, that type of thing, but not here. So that's neat. Okay. All right. So one more how you write question here. I got, so how do you get past a blank page? How do you start?
Well, sometimes you don't really know what you're going to write next. So rather than sitting there laboring or drinking heavily, which I think some writers have done, I just shut down the computer and go and do something else. And then if I come back, I might actually, they talk about walking your muse. If you walk, you can get ideas. And that sometimes happens. You just take a break, go do something different. And then all of a sudden, oh, I know what I'm going to do now. I know what's going to come next. That's how I manage it.
That's awesome. Yep. One of the things that comes out of reading a book like yours, Kate's War, is why do you think there's a fascination with World War II for novels?
Well, I think people like World War II partly because it was a war, unlike some, where it was the bad guys against the good guys, and the good guys won. I think that's part of it.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. I think you are correct. Makes for a great subject. The Linda, we're getting close to finishing up, and I wanted to find out from you, if someone wanted to follow up and connect or learn more, where would you send them?
Oh, thanks for asking that. Well, I have a website, www.lindastewarthenleyauthor.com. I'm on Facebook. You can find me with the same name. If you read my emails, if you look at my website, you will find a page where I have newsletters, which gives more information about the facts behind my story. I can't, like a novelist can't put all the facts they learn into their stories, because then it would become a history book. So it doesn't mean that you haven't done your research. You have to have done the research. So my newsletters that are on my website tell some of the interesting things that I wasn't able to put in the book. And so you can get that. And then you can also find my email address there if you want.
Excellent. I'll put that information in the show notes as well, so it makes it easy for the listeners to go to the webpage and quickly just click on the links and go to your website. Good stuff. All right. So I got two last questions I like to ask my guests. And the first one goes like this. How did you complete your novel? Many have ideas about what to write, but their novel never is finished. So what advice do you have for new writers and starting?
That's finishing a novel is one of the hardest parts, but you have to decide pretty much early on what kind of an ending you're going to have, whether it's going to be a happy ending or a sad ending. And then you're not going to write towards that. That's the best thing you can do, because you have to make all the threads of your story come together in a way that makes sense. And you can't suddenly end a story without anything leading up to it. It has to, organically come together. So you really need to come up with an idea pretty early on about how your story is going to end.
I love that. That's that's great advice, because, yes, I can only imagine that if you don't know where you're going, then you're not going to get there. Wherever there is not going to happen too fast. The last question. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If so, who was it? And what would you say if given the chance to say thank you?
Actually, I'm really glad you asked that question. It's really an unusual question. And I'm really happy that I have an answer to that one. Part of my story takes place in what was my old school in England. It was a convent school, as they call it. It was actually a convent, but nuns taught us. So I had a wonderful English teacher for 2 years there, Sister Mary Damien. And I realized after I started writing that I owed my ability to write to her and her good teaching. So this is years later. I mean, years later. I wrote to the school and I said, I'd like to thank Sister Mary Damien. And they wrote back and they said, well, she's retired. She's in the mother house now, but we'll send your letter on to her, make sure she gets it. So I was able to do that, even though she was quite old at the time, I think, but I was able to thank her. And I'm lucky to have been able to do that, I think.
That's excellent. And to have the opportunity to thank a person is so good, because a lot of times people are saying, you know, the common answer is, I always wish that I had done something like that. But so kudos to you for making that happen, because it's, you know, that's part of the reason why I asked the question, is that whoever, you know, somebody can define that role of teacher however they want, but the idea of being able to thank somebody who made an impact on your life is a neat thing to do.
Well, as I understand it, you've been a teacher, so you must appreciate that when people thank you.
I do. It's neat. It's really neat when, especially when you're not even expecting it, and you run into either somebody someplace totally out of the blue, or you get something. And with today, with emails and stuff like that, people following you that way, it's pretty cool to find that. But good stuff. All right, Linda, I can't thank you enough so much for sharing your book, Kate's War. It's engaging, past change, characters have to make choices that require courage, and I love that type of writing. It's excellent. I'm wishing you the best in all you do.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast to help you help kids achieve their dreams. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the podcast network based in Canada called Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right here. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Hey, thanks for listening. It would be awesome if you visited my website at stephenmaletto.com and connected with me, left a review, and listened to more episodes. And by the way, you could also share it with your friends, with your family, and your colleagues. Thanks so much. You're awesome.